Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So, I want to talk to you guys tonight about a kite, and about the movie The Avengers, and about the Bible. So, we'll start with the kite. So this is a story about a kite. And it was a good kite, a normal kite. But the one thing about this particular kite is that it dreamed of being free. It longed to fly through the air unencumbered by any tie to anything, to be free of any connection to a string or a person, just to fly through the air alone. Well, one day, this kite was bought at a store by a boy. A good boy, great kid, great kite owner, because he loved this kite, loved it. There was nothing that brought him more pleasure than to go to the park or to the beach and just to run it and let the kite up as high as it could go and to run along beneath it, big smile on his face, looking up at his kite as it flew through the air. It's great, except for one thing, the kite. Because the whole time that the kite was up flying through the air, all it was thinking about was being free, about not being attached to the string that connected it to the boy, about being free from the boy running underneath and just flying through the air on its own. Well, this one particular windy day, the boy realized it was the perfect day to fly his kite, so he went down to the park, and with joy, he started running, and he started letting out the string, and the kite started flying through the air, and he's running behind it, letting more and more string out, and he's just smiling as it flew up there. But again, the kite is dreaming of being free, and as it did every time, it's just kind of yanking against the string, trying with all its might to get free from anything, so it could be just autonomous and its own individual. And this time, it worked. With one final big pull, it broke free from the string. And you know what happened? This kite thought, finally, I get to fly free. But what happened to the kite was, and that's the story of the kite. Let's talk about the Avengers. In this movie, it starts out with this dude coming from like outer space. And he comes down, and he almost sort of has a press conference where he makes this proclamation to the world. He says, you all want to be free, and you're trying to be free, but you were not meant to be free. You were meant to be ruled, and I have come to rule you. Well, pretty much no one takes very kindly to this, and everyone realizes that humanity's freedom is threatened, and so we have to do something to defend ourselves from this evil tyrant. And so what they do is they call together the superheroes. Now, these superheroes are kind of a motley group. They have very interesting pasts. One of them is known for his promiscuous past. Another one is just famous for having anger problems. One of them is kind of a goody-goody, but really he's a relic from days gone by. I mean, it's considered that his best days are behind him. There's another with a very shady past, and so it's kind of a messy group. In fact, the evil guy that they've been brought together to fight against, he says of them, he says, how desperate are you that you bring these lost creatures to defend your freedom? They are a motley group, but they're the best we've got. And they do have superpowers, and so they've got some abilities to fight with. But typically, each of them kind of does their own thing and fights on their own. But this particular threat is so great that there's no way that any of them can handle on their own. So they kind of band together, and they form this superhero team to fight for freedom. They are freedom fighters, and they do it. And it's an incredible battle, and they almost lose. But ultimately, in the end, they win. And that's the Avengers. Now let's talk about the Bible. In the beginning of the New Testament of the Bible, this dude appears from outer space. Not exactly. But Jesus, the Bible says, comes from heaven to earth. And it's almost sort of like Jesus has this press conference, kind of, sort of. And he makes this proclamation. Finally, he announces to the world why he's come. And basically what he says is, you all think you're free, but you're not free. But you were meant to be free, and I have come to set you free. Basically, it's the exact opposite message of the guy in the movie. He says, you are meant to be free. You think you're free, but you're not free. I am going to set you free. Let me show you some times where Jesus actually kind of says this so you can see it, hear, kind of hear it from his own lips. Look at a few verses. If you have a Bible, you can open to Luke chapter 4. If you don't have one, man, don't sweat that. We'll put the verses on the screen for you. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one tonight as a free gift. Back at the Velcro bar, you can grab one. So Luke chapter 4 is one of the first times that Jesus really announces why he's come to earth. And he says this in verses 18 and 19 on the screen. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He says, I have come to set people free. And he talked about this all the time. Like in John chapter 8, he's talking about how he came to bring the truth of God and the truth about God. And he says this in John chapter 8, verse 32. He says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I've come to set you free. In John chapter 8, verse 36, he's speaking of himself when he says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Just as I have come to bring freedom. Because you're not really free, but you are meant to be free. And I am going to set you free. And it's not just the words of Jesus. I mean, this is a theme throughout the Bible. Like later in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord is the Spirit. It's saying God is a spiritual being. And it says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 25, and chapter 2, verse 12, are talking about the law of God, like the laws of God, right? The law of God, and it calls it, check this out, the law that gives freedom. The law that gives freedom. Now, it strikes me that all of this may surprise you. And some of you might be like, really? Because my picture of God has always been that he's this, like, repressive ruler, you know, and that Christianity is a straitjacket. You know, God's a repressive ruler who puts a straitjacket on us to kind of confine us and restrict us, but that's not the case at all. The Bible says that God is into freedom. God is all about freedom. In fact, at the beginning of the Old Testament, the very beginning of the Bible, God has the world exactly as he wants it. Exactly as he wants it. In time, people screw it all up. But when God has it exactly as he wants it, do you know that there was only one rule? There wasn't, like, you know, all these lists of rules and 10 commandments. Just one rule. That's it. God says, you know, I want you to enjoy a relationship with me. I want you to enjoy this world I've given you. I want you to enjoy freedom within a relationship with me. See, we think of God as a no God. You know, a lot of people think God's kind of like no to this, no to that, no, 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 no. But the Bible says no, God is a yes God. God is into freedom. The problem is that every person who has ever lived has tried to be free apart from God. We've all tried to be free apart from God. And the problem with that is that you can't be free apart from God. You can't. Because we're the kite. We're the kite. And we can't be free apart from God. We want to be free apart from God. We want to be independent and autonomous. We dream of not being connected to anything or anyone and without any restrictions, any confinement, because then we'll really be free. But that's not the reality. The reality is that when you pull away from God, when you finally pull yourself free from him, what actually happens is you lose freedom. And when you pull yourself away from the things that restrain you, you don't gain freedom, you lose it. And you know this. Like, you know this is true because you see it all the time. But we don't think this is true, Because we like to define freedom as the absence of any restrictions or constraint. That's what freedom is, man. It's when you have no restrictions and no constraint, but that's not freedom. When you have no restrictions and no constraint, you don't have freedom. You lose freedom. We see this all over the place. We see it all the time. We see it in our lives. It's like it's the student who says, you know what? I am free. I'm free, so I don't have to study. I don't have to study all the time for my tests. But then they don't get the grades that they want to get, and then they can't get into the college they want or can't get the job they want. And what they realize is that they lost freedom. They lost the freedom to do what they wanted with their future because of using freedom. The use of freedom led them to lose a greater freedom that they really desired. It's the person who says, you know what, I am free, so I can have sex with whoever I want to have sex with. But then comes an unwanted pregnancy or a venereal disease, or then comes marriage, and this person in their married life realizes that because of their sexual past, they've lost some of the freedom to really enjoy sex with their spouse now. And what they realize is, man, I lost freedom by using my freedom. But by pulling free of restrictions and constraint, I lost freedom. I didn't gain it. It's the person who's like, I'm free to spend my money any way I want to. You know, I don't need to be, you know, follow the rules of my money. And so, you know, if I want to buy Starbucks every morning, if I want to go out to eat every day, I'll just do whatever I want with my money. But then they can't afford to go on the vacation that they really want to go on. And it's like, oh, but by using my freedom, I lost my freedom. But by pulling myself free from restraints and constrictions, what I did was I didn't become free. I lost freedom. See, we want to define freedom as the absence of any restrictions or constraints, but that's not freedom. The truth is that often constrictions and restraint are actually what lead us to freedom. It's the path to freedom. It's like a piano. You know, you can have this person who says, you know what? I don't have to practice the piano every day. I'm going to play piano, but I don't have to practice every day because I'm free, and I don't need to practice it all the time. But then what happens is, as they move on as a piano player, there are other people who are free to play these beautiful pieces that I can't because I use my freedom not to practice. And so what actually happened was I lost a richer freedom to play the piano the way I wish I could play the piano. The absence of restriction didn't give me freedom. It made me lose freedom. It's kind of like a fish. You got a fish in water. If the fish decides, I want to be free, and so it frees itself, it escapes the confinement of water, it doesn't gain freedom, it dies, right? A fish that frees itself from the restriction, the confinement of water, doesn't gain freedom. What it does is die. And so what a fish has to do, what we have to do with the fish, is we have to respect the reality of its nature. And a fish's nature is that it can only be free within the confines of water. And in the same way, you and I can only be free if we are in the confines of a relationship with God. We can only be free when we're connected to God. See, God wants us to be free. God is all about freedom, but God knows that we can only be free if we're connected with Him. We're only free in a relationship with God. And if we try to free ourselves from restrictions, we don't gain freedom, we lose freedom. And this is why God gives us rules. I told you, when God had the world the way He wanted it, just one rule. But over time, what happened is as people tried to free themselves from restriction and constraint, God had to put in more rules to give us freedom. The reason God gives rules is to give you freedom. Like the Ten Commandments. So there's these 10 rules that people like to talk about that are in the Bible somewhere, and you know, those are the rules we're supposed to follow, you know, because God kind of is this repressive ruler who's trying to give us rules to restrict our freedom. No, the Ten Commandments are designed to give you freedom. Like one of the commandments says, do not lie. Why? Because when I lie, what I do is I lose freedom. I lose freedom to have healthy relationships because I damage my relationships. I lose freedom because I find myself kind of constricted to the cell of my deceptions. And so to be truly free, I have to limit my freedom to lie. And God gives us that commandment so that we can experience true freedom. Another of the commandments is do not commit adultery. Why? Because if I kind of use my freedom to, I can have sex with whoever I want to, even if I'm married, what happens is I don't gain freedom, I lose freedom. I lose the freedom to look at myself in the mirror with a clear conscience. I lose the freedom to be happily married. I lose the freedom of having kids grow up with parents who love and stay connected and committed to each other. And so if I want to be truly free, I have to limit my freedom to commit adultery. And so what God does is he gives us rules to help us experience freedom. God is all about freedom. When he had the world the way he wanted it, there was one rule. But because we've tried to be free without him, he's given us more rules so that we can experience more freedom. And listen, there's another thing that's so it's critically important that you understand about the rules that God gives us. And it seems to me like almost no one understands this. Ready? The rules of God are not designed to lead you into a relationship with God or to define your relationship with God, but rather they're designed to give you freedom within your relationship with God because you already have a relationship with God. They're not designed to lead you into a relationship with God. They're given to you because you already have a relationship with God. Here's one of the ways you see that people just don't quite get this. There's been all these surveys done where they go out in the street and they ask people this question. They say, excuse me, when you die, do you think you'll go to heaven? What would you say? What almost everyone says when asked that question is, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. And then they ask the next question, which is, why? What would you answer? What would you answer? What almost everyone says is, I think I do a pretty good job at keeping the Ten Commandments. I mean, I'm a good person. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm a good person. I do a pretty good job at keeping the Ten Commandments. Okay. But what does that have to do with it? It has nothing to do with it. First of all, you probably haven't done that good a job of keeping the Ten Commandments. But second of all, even if you have, let's grant that, even if you have, it has nothing to do with it. The Ten Commandments have nothing to do with whether you go to heaven. Heaven is for people who say yes to a relationship with God and who have decided, I want to love and worship God. And so they go to heaven. Right? The commandments have nothing to do with it. In fact, look up the Ten Commandments in the Bible, and what you'll realize is that the Ten Commandments weren't given to people to help them know how to have a relationship with God. The Ten Commandments were given to people who already had a relationship with God. And so the way people answer those questions, maybe that's the way some of us might answer those questions, it shows we just don't quite get it. We don't understand the rules. It'd be kind of like this. Let's say somebody walked up to somebody in the lobby and said, excuse me, sir, are you married to Jen? The Jen who goes to this church, drives a blue minivan, volunteers in the preschool class, and this guy says, yeah, I think so. And you said, okay, why? And this person says, well, I've never done anything bad to her. I mean, I've never called her a name, never hit her, never yelled at her. I've done a couple nice things for her. I was at Starbucks once, and she was there, bought her coffee, let her into traffic once. I mean, you can ask her. I don't think I've ever offended her. I think I'm a pretty good person to her. So, yeah, I think we're married. No, right? I'm married to Jen. And I'm not married to Jen because I keep the rules of marriage and I was good to her. I'm married to Jen because 18 years ago, I asked her. And she said yes. We went through a wedding ceremony and we're married. We're not married because I kept the rules of marriage and was pretty good to her. We're married because we went through this ceremony because she said yes to my invitation of marriage, right? And listen, if I don't keep the rules of marriage, we're still married. Because it has nothing to do with the rules. And in the same way, if a person keeps the rules of God, that doesn't mean they're in a relationship with God. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven. And if you say yes to God's offer of invitation or of relationship, then you're going to heaven, even if you don't keep the rules. I'm going to heaven, but the reason is because 22 years ago, God invited me into a relationship with him and to go to heaven, and I said yes. And I went through a baptism ceremony, which is kind of like a wedding ceremony, and I said yes to a relationship with God. So I'm going to heaven, not because I've kept the rules. It has nothing to do with it. And even if I now don't keep the rules, I'm still in a relationship with God, and I'm still going to heaven, because it has nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. It has nothing to do with the rules. Think of it this way. Let's say you have a dog, okay, and you love your dog. Like, you love your dog, right? And so you want nothing more than your dog to, like, run free. And the biggest space you have is your yard, okay? So you want your dog to just be able to run around free in your yard. What would you do? You'd put a fence around it, right? It's the first thing you would do because you want your dog to run free. And you realize your dog can run free, but it's going to run free with cars barreling down at it. And you don't want your dog to have that kind of freedom because you love your dog. And so you'd let it run around free in your yard with a fence around your yard, okay? Now, does that fence make your dog your dog? No. You put that fence there because you have a dog. It doesn't make your dog your dog, right? So your dog is now running around in your yard. Let's say it broke out of your yard. It broke through the fence, jumped over the fence. It's now out of your yard. Is it like, it's not our dog anymore? No, right? It can be outside the boundaries you've given it and still be your dog. Or let's say that one day a neighbor's dog, some dog from down the street, jumps over your fence or breaks through your fence, and now you would do like, I'm going to go, got a new dog. No, right? Being in your dog, in your yard, in those boundaries does not make it your dog, right? You put the fence there because it's your dog, but it doesn't make it your dog, right? And in the same way, God, because he loves us, puts boundaries around our behavior. He puts limits around our behavior. He gives us rules because we're his people, not to show us how to be his people. And it's because he loves us and he wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to be free with cars barreling down, realizing, man, that's a freedom that you can use, but it's a dangerous freedom. I want you to be able to enjoy freedom where you're truly free, without consequences, without regrets. And so God does that for us because he loves us, because we're already his children, because we're already in his family. It's kind of like my kids. I have rules for my kids. I don't have rules for your kids. Some of you, I'd like to make rules. No, I wouldn't. I'm just kidding. But maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I have rules for my kids. You know why? Because they're my kids. My kids didn't become a part of my family because they followed my rules. No, they have rules because they're in my family. And in the same way, God gives us rules because we're in his family, because he loves us, and because he wants us to live a life that is truly free. And listen, all of this is great news for you. Like right now, if you're really thinking about this, you should be going, oh, yes, thank you. Because, you know, what you should be hearing is, okay, God loves you. And he loves you so much, he's invited you into a relationship with him. And within that relationship, he wants to help you to live a life that's truly free. And it has nothing to do with keeping the rules. It should be like a, because maybe you're the kind of person, a lot of people are, who have stayed away from church or you've stayed away from God because you've had this thought, I could never keep all the rules. I could never be that good a person. I can't be like this perfect person. And so I just kind of have stayed away from it. Well, then this is really good news because it's not about keeping the rules. It's about God inviting you into a relationship because he loves you, and inviting you to spend eternity in heaven with him because he loves you. And yes, within the context of that relationship, he will give you rules, but you don't get into the relationship by following the rules. Now, once you're in that relationship, you'd be real smart to follow the rules because you love God, because you worship God, because you care about yourself, and because you want to live a life that's free, and you realize you have this loving, wise God who's giving you rules that set you free. But even if you don't keep the rules, it's not about following the rules. And if you say yes, and I'll just be honest with you and tell you, the reason I get up here every week is because I want you to say yes to that. Like more than anything, I want you to say yes to a relationship with God where you really understand and experience what love is and what real freedom is in life. More than anything, I want you to say yes to that, and I hope you will. And if you do, when you do, and if you have, You know what you become? Not only a part of God's family, but you also become a freedom fighter. A freedom fighter. In the movie, in the Avengers, so this weird dude comes down from outer space, right? And he threatens humanity's freedom. And so these superheroes kind of band together because they want to fight for the freedom of the people of Earth. They become freedom fighters. Well, in real life, not the movie, in real life, the freedom of people, of humanity, is threatened. It's threatened because we can't be free apart from a relationship with God. We can try, we can ignore God, we can yank away from him, but we can't be free apart from God running with us, big smile on his face, our connectedness to him. We can't be free without that. But there's so many people who don't know, who don't have God in their life, or don't realize that God's offering a relationship, or don't understand that God's not a restrictive ruler, but is this God who wants to set us free. And so we are freedom fighters. When you say yes to God, you become a freedom fighter. You become a person who has this message of freedom for the world. And that is a really cool thing. One of the cool things about it is that God chooses messy people. In the movie, it's this motley group of superheroes. They're not like these pristine, you know, it's like, really? Like, you know, the guy says, such lost creatures. And the cool thing is, like, when you look at Jesus' life, the people he chose to be his followers, it's like, really? This is the best you can? I mean, he chose, like, these messy people. And God continues to choose messy people. And I think that kind of makes sense. Because it's not about being perfect. Right? It's not about perfectly keeping the rules. It's about saying yes to an invitation into a relationship with God. And even a messy person can do that. And if God only chose the best people, the most perfect people, the people with the most perfect character, it might give everyone else the idea that, see, it is about being perfect. Because look at all these people. They're like the most perfect people. But God choosing messy people kind of lets people know it's not about being perfect. It's about saying yes to God. God chooses messy people, and he gives them this message of freedom. He's like, go out and let people know. And the message we have is not behave. You know, there's a way you're supposed to act, and you're not acting that way, and you need to live according to the Bible, and you need to be like, no, that's not the message. The message is, there is a God who loves you. And this God is offering you relationship. And within this relationship, God is going to teach you how to live a life that is truly free. Now, the interesting thing is when you start talking to people about, man, we have this message we get to share with people. We get to let them know that there's a God who loves them, wants to set them free. People start going, I don't know about that. Like it's just not me. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could have that conversation. I don't know, like invite people to church. He told me invite people to church. I don't know if I could do that. But here's the cool thing. God actually empowers us to do the mission. It's not just that God chooses messy people and gives them a mission. He actually empowers us to do the mission. Like, there are several verses in the Bible where God says, listen, don't worry about what to say. Don't worry about, like, you know, when I get in that moment and I have to say, you know, kind of say the right thing for God, what would I say? No, he says, don't worry about it. I'll give you the words to say. God's like, I'll empower you. And so there's kind of this real sense in which we get to be superheroes. It's like we're empowered with the supernatural power of God for this mission he's given us. So we are freedom fighters, a motley group of freedom fighters, with God empowering us to do the mission. And not only that, but God puts us on a team. You know, in the movie, it's like these individual superheroes are typically strong enough to do it on their own, but not this time, so they have to band together. And it's the same with us. God's like, listen, this mission is way too big for any one of you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on teams that work together to share this message of freedom and offer it to the world. That's what church is. That's what church is supposed to be. That's what Verve is. Verve is a group of messy, motley people who God has brought together and is empowering to share this message of freedom with the world. And that's really cool. That's really cool. And you know what? That's only possible because of Jesus. It's only possible because of Jesus. He's the hero of the story, you know? So it's like this. It's like God is inviting you into a relationship. I want you to think about this. So God is inviting you into a relationship. And when two people enter into a relationship, they're always going to have to limit their freedom to be in that relationship. It's the nature of a relationship. And the more significant a relationship, the more you have to limit your freedom. Now, the truth is you gain freedoms by being in that relationship. But like by being married for these last 18 years, I've gained all kinds of freedoms that I would never have without that marriage. But at the same time, I've had to limit my freedoms to be in this marriage, right? Like everyone does. You can no longer make unilateral decisions. There's compromises. And so you have to limit yourself to enter into a relationship. And it needs to go both ways. Like, if one person, if they adjust and they limit themselves, but the other person never does, that relationship is oppressive and exploitive, right? This person's being exploited and oppressed, right? And so God is inviting you into a relationship. And at first blush, you would think, well, that relationship has to be exploitive and oppressive. Because when a human being enters into a relationship with a divine being, the divine being has all the power. So the person is going to have to adjust. The person is going to have to limit their freedom. And so by its nature, it's going to be an oppressive and exploitive relationship. But not with Christianity. Because with Christianity, what happened is God became one of us. And in doing that, he totally adjusted to us. He totally limited himself when he became a person in the person of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus went to the cross, and in the most radical way imaginable, God chose to limit himself and to adjust to us by dying on a cross for us. And so God offers us this relationship that's a two-way relationship. In fact, the only way it can be exploitive or oppressive is if we choose to do that to God. If we choose to ask God to serve us without being willing to adjust or limit our freedoms for him. And I think when you start to really understand, man, God chose to limit himself. God chose to adjust to us. You start realizing, I want to do that for him. If God did that for me, shouldn't I want to do that for him? There's this great verse in the Bible. When you first read it, it's kind of like, what does that mean? But it's really cool. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. We'll put it on the screen for you. It says, the love of Christ constrains us. The love, not the rules, the love of Christ constrains us. It's like the thing that leads us to make the choice to limit ourselves or to adjust is what Jesus has done for us. It's his love, right? And I'll tell you this. You and I, all of us, we're going to be constrained by something. You might think, no, I'm autonomous. No, we're all constrained by something. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be constrained by something, I want to be constrained by love, right? Like, I'm going to be constrained. I want to be constrained by love. There's a Christian author, writer, speaker, thinker guy. Author and writer is probably the same thing. named C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was once asked this question. He was asked, is it easy to love God? Is it easy to love God? And he responded, it is easy for those who do it. It's interesting. At first, it's like, well, what does that mean? But I think it makes sense. When you fall in love with a person, it's easy to give up your freedom for them. It's easy to do what love requires. It's easy to make sacrifices because you're doing it out of love and you're doing it as a response to love. And when you see how God has loved you, it becomes easy to love him back. When you see how Jesus gave up his freedom for you, you start being willing to give up freedom for him, and even more, to find your freedom in him. So, we're going to We're going to give you guys a couple minutes to wrestle with this. This is to think through what you heard tonight. And I realize tonight's kind of a lot to think through. It's a little bit more maybe than we typically cover. But I would encourage you maybe to do this. Maybe just pick one idea that you need to respond to and wrestle with that. Instead of like the whole thing might be too much, but maybe just pick one idea that kind of hit you and has got you thinking, and maybe spend a little bit of time thinking about that, praying about that if you pray. And so maybe for you it's this idea that God is inviting you into relationship with him. He's waiting for you to say yes. He's waiting to lead you into a life that's truly free. Maybe you've never said yes, and so the question you could wrestle with is, what am I waiting for? For what reason would I say no to an offer of relationship with a God who loves me? Maybe it's time for me to say yes. Next month, we're going to do baptisms. I mentioned that earlier. It's just kind of this little ceremony you go through that kind of ushers you into this new life with God, into a relationship with him. It's how you say yes in a sense. And maybe for some of you, like, that's me. Next month, I'm doing that. And if you want to find out more about that, there's a sign-up sheet for people who are interested in learning more back at the Velcro Bar. Maybe that's not you. Maybe the thing that you could kind of really think about tonight is, so God wants you to be free, and because he wants you to be free, he's given you rules. Not to restrict you, but to give you greater freedom in life. What rules of God are you currently not following? And maybe you're not following them because, I'm free. But maybe tonight for the first time you're like, oh, it's not leading me to freedom. Not following that rule is leading me to less freedom. And so maybe tonight you kind of wrestle with that and you say, God, help me to follow everything you say because I want to be free. Or maybe for some of you, it's this idea that God's given you a mission, and your mission is to share this message of freedom with the world. And maybe you have people in your life, coworkers, family, friends, neighbors, that you've never mentioned this idea that, you know, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Maybe you've never invited them, and maybe right now you're realizing, man, God gave you a mission, and I'm not engaging in it, and I need to. And so maybe tonight kind of talk to God about that. So we're going to give you a couple minutes to do that. During this time, the band's going to play a song, so it won't be like awkwardly quiet in here. We're going to make communion available. It's on the tables on the sides of the room, a piece of bread and a cup of juice that help us to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross when he limited himself and adjusted to our condition and gave up his freedom to die for us so that we might have freedom and have life. So if you'd like to take that, you're welcome to. I'm going to pray, and we'll give you guys a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll close the service. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for Jesus, who is the hero of the story and the one who came down for us with this message that you think you're free. You're living in a way trying to get yourself away from all constraints and restrictions, and so you think you're free, but you're not free. And I have come to set you free. The truth of God will set you free. God's law is a law of freedom. God, would you help us tonight to be changed by that idea? God, I pray tonight that there are some people in this room who for the first time say, God, I want a relationship with you. I want to say yes. I understand better than I ever have that it's not about being a good person or keeping the rules or following the Ten Commandments. It's just about saying yes to a relationship with you, and I want that, God. I want to respond to your love. God, for others of us, maybe it's saying, I want to follow your rules because it is a law that gives me freedom, and I want to live in a way that's truly free and that honors you, God. And maybe for some of us, this is called it to share the message that we have of freedom with others, to invite them to come back here and experience what we get to experience every week so that they can experience you. God, would you lead us through these next couple of minutes, and would you remind us that it's all possible because of Jesus and because of your love? We pray in his name. Amen.